one word had been printed about it. And I assure you that I wouldn't. And if I might, for his honor's sake, I think perhaps he's been maybe gone or misinformed by someone about my statements and my conduct. I have not called any press conferences for the purposes of publicity. Your Honor, I don't need the publicity. This case in itself invites publicity. And I am part of it. I have not sought it, Your Honor. I haven't wanted it. And it would suit me fine if I didn't get it. But let me say this. I am vitally concerned, as I've stated before. I am concerned with pretrial publicity. I've argued that in this court for his honor here. And he knows it. And I believe in it. And I'm for it. And but I'll say this. That I'm going to defend my client with everything within my might and my power. And I have not willfully, nor wantonly, nor deliberately violated his honor's order.
Mr. Haynes, let me see if I can summarize accurately what I understand with this. First, you're aware of the existence of these orders.
Yes, sir.
Second, you recognize the orders as being valid and binding upon you.
Yes, sir.
Third, that you have not in any way at any time violated the orders.
No, sir. As I say, not for the sake of publicity, not for publication, but not have I deliberately or willfully or wantonly or even knowingly violated the judge's orders. No, sir. Nor will I not. I respect his honor. I respect the dignity.
And you have no intention in the future of making any pre-trial extrajudicial statements that are to any part of the order.
Please, sir, while we're here at Fairfax, please explain to me what extrajudicial, what does that embrace? Now, let me say this, please, and I'm not trying to be facetious. Now, if the press or someone asked me, is the key set for trial November 12th? And I say to them, I don't know. Now, that's rather stupid, because I'm the man's lawyer, and I'm entitled to know the day of the trial, and the day of the trial has been set. It's been publicized around the world. November 12th, the date was set right here, this bank, the date of the rain, I believe on July the 27th. And all I said was, as far as I know is concerned, the trial is still will be held on November 12th. And, I have not made any statements, nor do I intend to go to the merits of the case.
Mr. Haynes, you permitted the orders, as you stated.
Yes, sir.
There are a number of categories about which no statement can be made by anybody. You know those categories, do you not?
Yes, sir. I know.
There is a general category that no one shall make any extrajudicial statement that will interfere with fair trial either by the state or the defense.
That's correct, sir. And I certainly would like pointed out anywhere in this thing that will preclude the possibility of a fair trial. Lisa, read it. Read it to the public there.
Well, do you think it would cause sympathy for a person if it was stated throughout the community and not supported by any proof that he was not allowed to see? Breathing down his neck, that he was subject to being on a closed-circuit television 24 hours a day.
I don't know. You see, you don't know whether it's going to get be a fair trial or not until you get the jurors here. And you're going down the jurors as to whether this publicity is going to affect them or not. I don't think we can say now because we don't even know who the jurors are going to be. But it perhaps would, or maybe not. The public may react and say that's good enough for him. You see, I don't know. But I have made that charge. I have made it here in this open court. And if I might, please, I'd be happy to read it to you. We have it available. Do you have that?
Mr. Haynes, you know the difference between a judicial statement and an extrajudicial statement.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And you're thoroughly familiar with the fact that nobody in this courtroom
sir, I have said nothing concerning this case that has not been said in this open court here.
And you deny categorically that these statements that are attributed to you as having been made in the Birmingham interview and were reported in the press summit on September the 12th, that interview in fact occurred and that those statements were in fact made.
Well, now let's see which article.
There's no statement that such an interview has had. You just said that Mr. Haynes earlier said.
I can't say because I have a lot of reporters that call me and come by. I will tell you this, and I will tell His Honor, and I will tell this court here, that I have not made any statements concerning this case that would be prejudicial to either the state or the defendant in this matter prior to the time it's been said in His Honor's presence. I'll make that statement and I will stand by it.
Well, so there can be no misunderstanding, let me ask you just one more time in a slightly different language. Have you ever made a statement outside of this courtroom to any person that what Ray has undergone is enough to bug anybody during his confinement, and that Ray has had two guards breathing down his neck 24 hours a day, sometimes has to cover his eyes against the bright lights shining on him night and day in order to sleep? Have you ever made that statement to any person extrajudicially for publicity purposes?
No, sir, not for publicity purposes.
Excuse me, Your Honor.
No,
I would say yes, sir. And I say the man has a hard time sleeping.
said it then in court. I said it to them. I said to you here now, sir. And I have those motions filed, and I hope to have the opportunity to support those motions.
So it is your position that you have in past and will in future?
No, sir, not in the future. I have not, sir. I have not deliberately for publication or for publicity said anything that would be violative of His Honor's order. I do not intend to. I've tried students, but let me say, sir, it's most difficult when you have a press corps from around the world. As I say, the very nature of this case, I didn't ask for the publicity. I don't seek it. I didn't need it. I was doing all right. Didn't need it. The nature of the case itself. The victim here has invited publicity. And I will not violate his honor's orders. I will continue to try to avoid violating his honor's orders. I certainly do not mean to be impertinent to this court.
It is true that you have given to 15 or 20 reporters, if I recall your testimony correctly, an assertion that what was in motion to be filed in this court and not at that time been disposed of was true.
No, sir. Well, I say that, no, sir. Now, I have said here in open court, and here's a testimony. It was published in the paper that day, sir. His Honor asked me to put it in writing. This I have done. Now, I said nothing more since then about it. But I said it in open court, and it was tearing in your press. Lisa,
didn't you tell me and want the record reflect that you stated that you had told 15 or 20 reporters?
Listen, you don't read any record, anything you want to.
That's ridiculous, Your Honor, to say
it overruled. He has a right to get
out of Mr. Ames,
to admit on what you filed in court is truth, Your Honor.
Say that anybody that called me after this argument in open court, that I said it's a matter of public record. And I think these gentlemen here, the press, will tell you that I won't comment on it. Now, if they got it out of the record and they got it out of the local press, I can't help it. All I said was it's a matter of public record. It has been printed. It's been said in open court.
And according to your testimony, that it's true.
That me saying it in open court?
No. The lights were on, but the man was being bugged.
No, sir, I've never said the man was being bugged. I said the lights were on. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I said that the television cameras were on. And I said it to two guards.
And you stated that as a fact in extrajudicial statements to reporters?
No, sir. No, sir, I stated that in open court. Then when the reporters called me, I said, check your record. It's a matter of public record.